We're back in on Canuck Central. Dan Riccio and Bick Nizar in for the one and only Satyar Shah, who remains on injured reserve for the time being.
We had some salary cap issues. We're putting him on LTIR.
He'll be back when...
saving him for the playoffs.
We're saving Sat for the playoffs. That's exactly the company line we're taking. Canuck Central is for Ensign Pacific, Vancouver's premier Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep superstore on 2nd Avenue between Cambie and Main, or at ensignpacificchrysler.ca. And we welcome in our next guest, Don Taylor. He joins us every Monday, Donnie and Dolly, 10 to noon on Check TV. And Don Taylor is a presentation of Besant Motors here on Sportsnet 650. Donnie, the playoffs within reach tonight.
Yeah, isn't that something? We were talking about it today on our show, and just how, you know, there hasn't been a home playoff date. They made the playoffs in 2020. I'm sure you guys talked about it all day. Yeah. I didn't listen because I was at the dentist today. That's another story. But, you know, we all remember the 2020 bubble. Okay, great, fine. But, you know, no home playoff date since 2015. And really, the last four playoff series that have included games at Rogers Arena have ended in disappointment. And that includes 2015 with Calgary. They were favored in that. At least they were a higher seed in that series. They had home ice advantage. And then, of course, 2011 with the Boston Bruins. And that series, although it was preceded by some success to get to the Stanley Cup final, 2012 against the LA Kings, I guess that's kind of understandable, given that, you know, the LA Kings were a lot better than an eighth place team, and they ended up winning the Stanley Cup. And then the one series everybody forgets about, which was just horrible, was 2013 against the Sharks. They got swept. Mm-hmm. And so there hasn't been a whole lot of success playoff wise at Rogers Arena. Not only have there not been many games, but no success for a long, long, long time. And I feel good for Canuck fans.
So the thing we were talking about, and people have been texting in our their response to it. Do you care that they clinch tonight? Because it hasn't even occurred to me until I saw a lot of people mentioning it. Friends in group chats are talking about clinching tonight. It's nice, I guess, to have the X next to the name, but it's going to happen. They're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, well, we've known that for a long time, but I guess...
Forever!
Yeah, the people who would say, you know, that they care might be people in my age category, which is up there, where you just figure something is going to go wrong. Right?
Even though, come on, though.
No, I know. It is ridiculous. I'm not saying I'm one of those people, but I do get where they may be coming from, right? Like, this, you just expect things to go wrong. Look, in reality, it hasn't been that much bad of a franchise, but, you know, you just expect if something can go wrong, it will. And, you know, maybe you could argue that the Lindholm-Demko situation, maybe that points to that, but yeah, it's I could kind of see where that, you know, those people are coming from, but I don't know, guys. I mean, how do you feel? They're going to clinch, you know, they're going to clinch in the next few days. This week, you would think. It's just a real strange situation because there's a buzz in the town. Everybody's looking forward to April, but we're in a strange situation in that there hasn't been a lot of success, but we kind of knew they were going to clinch a playoff spot for a while now. This isn't near as exciting as them, you know, fighting for a wild card spot and, you know, possibly getting into the playoffs and what that would mean in the month of March. These are still important games, but nothing like that drive to clinch a playoff spot. And maybe that's where some people are coming from when they say, okay, it's going to happen. It's no big deal. But I get both sides of it.
But then this is meant to be the reward of the work already put in that not that you put your feet up and relax, but it's, oh, right, we are going to the playoffs, and we can focus on game one, not white-knuckling it down the stretch.
Yeah, I guess so, but that it's just that this, you know the ending, okay? You go to a movie and you know the ending, and in sure. This case, they're going to make the playoffs, whereas, you know, you're fighting for a, you know, a final playoff spot, a wild card spot in the case of this particular NHL playoff format. It's a great story. You don't know what the ending is going to be, and sometimes it works out for the Canucks. So that's where I'm going with that. And I think that's why there's a little bit, I'm not saying indifference, it's just that you know the ending. They're going to get to the playoffs, and then after that, it's like who do they match up against in the first round? So always interesting. But I always, you know, always. I mean, 91 when Cardinals scored a game winner to get them into the playoffs. Harold Druckin all those years ago scored a goal against the LA Kings to get them into the playoffs. There was a lot of drama there that maybe isn't there this year. I you know, Bick, you're right. People will take this year over that sort of thing, but that's just a little bit of a better story when it happens like that.
Yeah, they will be, if they clinch tonight, they will be the first team in the league to get the X next to their name. Maybe that's the feather in the cap. I'm not sure it means a ton realistically, but given where this team was last year, what, just over 500 team last season, thanks to the way they finished under Rick Tocchet, to now being the first team that clinches a playoff spot, it at least maybe hints that what we thought they were going to be, maybe fighting tooth and nail coming into the season, they're actually more of a true cup contender than just a team fighting to get its way into the playoffs.
Yeah. That's part of it. But the only thing is, I don't want to be negative here, although I get accused of that a lot.
Oh, Donnie doesn't think they're a true cup contender.
No, I didn't say that. The problem is, guys, is that there's about 8 or 9 other teams that are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, take a look at the overall standings and how many teams are within 1 point of the Canucks. How many teams are within 3 to 5 points of the Canucks? And if I'm not mistaken, that doesn't even include the Oilers or, God help us, the Leafs. You know, there's just so much there. And I think the other thing, too, I honestly think in this city, this might be another layer to the story. I think people are worried about if they clinch tonight, become the first team to clinch a playoff spot, and then you think to yourself, oh, it's great. They're gonna finish on top of the overall standings and win the President's Trophy. I think there's a lot of people who don't want that. You know, given the curse of the President's Trophy and the fact that Canucks have won it a couple of times and didn't win the Stanley Cup in the same years, I think people, there's a strangeness there that people don't want that. I mean, Rick Tocchet says it all the time. He's a moment-to-moment guy. They just go shift by shift, moment-to-moment. You win a game, and if you happen to win the President's Trophy, I guess that's fine. But I think a lot of the people in this city know the history. What is it, guys? Like 8 times in 37 years, the President's Trophy winner has won the Stanley Cup. And we all know what's happened lately, most recently, the Boston Bruins winning the President's Trophy and getting knocked up by Florida. I think people, maybe these are the negative Vancouverites that I'm talking about. they're worried about this President's Trophy curse.
No, we see it in the text box all the time. There's the Dunbar Lumber text box. There's always people that don't want to have anything to do with the President's Trophy. But, you know, it does, playing to the maybe pessimistic Canuck fan a little bit. You mentioned Lindholm and Demko, and the focus on Lindholm. He's not going to play tonight against the LA Kings. Mystery surrounds his injury right now and how they're going to play it out, but it does feel, I'm going to steal a word from iMac here, it does feel very Canucky how this is all played out. The guy they targeted to be their big deadline acquisition ends up hurt and having to play at less than 100% and isn't having the desired effect on the roster. It's super unfortunate because we're not seeing the Elias Lindholm we expected to see.
No, and although now maybe you realize there could be a good reason for it.
Yeah,
and you know, I guess the question might be, well, why didn't you sit him earlier? He was missing practices before this, so there's that question. But at least now maybe he gets healthy and they feel that you know, you'll be fine for the playoffs. So
I think it's a really tough spot, Donnie. Like for the player, he wants to hit a home run in free agency this summer, right? I think he wants to be in the lineup as much as coach wants him in the lineup because he thinks, you know, him getting the $50 million contract depends on him being in the lineup and scoring goals.
Yeah. The other thing that's going on too, the other element to this story, and you're right, you know, like, just given his history, I know he wasn't having the greatest offensive season, but you just had this feeling there was something wrong because of what you just said, Dan. Like, it's not just about the team, it's about him personally and what's at stake for him. And you see social media today, it's, you know, the $40 million man is now a $12 million man. So, you know, a couple of layers there. The other thing that's that's happening in Calgary. They're signing Yanni Yermo to an entry-level contract and Andre Brustevich to an entry-level contract. And I know Kuzmenko has been, much like he was in Vancouver, in and out in terms of his performance. But, you know, it seems Calgary's pretty happy with the deal, and we'll see what happens with the draft picks. But that adds another layer of Canuck woe. But at least now you know, okay, there's something there that maybe it can be taken care of in the next week or two or three.
So in the meantime, while he's out of the lineup, who gets presented with the best chance to audition for, I don't know about a permanent role, but who are you most excited for with him out?
You know, I like Bluger, but, I mean, he's been good all year. And of course, we're talking to somebody who could play center or play wing. There's Amon, obviously, who I don't notice as much as Bluger. Lafferty's a winger, of course. And I guess I'd have to say maybe we'll get to notice Bluger a little bit more. And you saw that great defensive play he noticed, probably that he came up with on the weekend against Calgary. So he would be the guy, and he's a guy who's got himself Stanley Cup success as well. So I know that's the easy answer, but I'm going to go with it. That's what I often do.
how impressed are you with Nils Höglander's season?
Man, I was looking at the stats yesterday, and he is 24th on the list of Canucks players in terms of average ice time. And that includes, people like Akito Hirose. It includes people like Andre Kuzmenko, who's no longer in the organization. Just anybody who's suited up for the Canucks. 24th in ice time, average ice time per game, between 11 and 12 minutes. And here he is with 22 goals. And that leads to the question, what would happen if he was given more responsibility in a top six role where he's getting power play time as well? Even power play two time, guys. Right, so you just wonder, like, as well as he's played and as productive as he's been and as spectacular as he's been, that was a Bure-esque goal on Saturday. What could he do with more ice time? And then even at the end, I was with the empty net. He didn't get out there to get his hat trick. I know he drew the penalty at the end and was on the power play, but. I just wondered, like, given more opportunity, what can he do? And I think one of the only, real negative about this is that Höglander is outperforming the guy who was picked in the first round that year in 2019, Vasily Podkolzin. So you'd like to see more from him. Maybe it comes the way it has for Höglander. I'm not sure. But Höglander has been really impressive, guys. And it's not just about scoring goals. His work on the forecheck, which Rick Tocchet has talked about, pretty much since day one. He might not trust him, he might not have trusted him 200 feet long, but he's talked about his forechecking, and you really notice it on that line, which has just been great.
Sorry, was that Bure or Burrows like goal?
Well, you know what? It was. You're right with the leg kick. You got me there.
I just want to confirm that you've now said Bure-like and that they're not a Stanley Cup contender, right? So I just want to confirm we're accurate on this hit here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Pavel didn't win a Stanley Cup here. I get that.
Sorry, go ahead.
You make a good point about Burrows, though. I forgot about the Burrows leg kick.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. The hands were Bure. The leg kick was Burrows. How about that?
There we go.
The difference.
I wanted to ask you about Pavel because we don't see a lot of 50 goal seasons here, right? He and Almo are the ones who have done it. And yeah. Reach and I were talking. Reinhardt scores 50 over the weekend. Zach Hyman scores 50. In an age when guys can get to 50, and we were just trying to project like who the next 50 goal scorer could be for Vancouver.
Ooh, okay. Well. You want to say Brock Besser, given 36. We'll see what happens with him and his contract. I would say my guess would be JT Miller. Again, I'm doing the easy answers here. Man, what kind of a guess am I? Yeah, I'm really giving you absolutely nothing here. But he's been pretty consistent. And, I'll go with JT Miller. He's such a good player. Man, I'm just... they're so proud. I know everybody's ripped him for his body language in the past, including me, but I think that's taken care of itself. And he just, He's just been great.
That scene on Saturday was pretty awesome. I know the video's gone viral and everything like that. That was pretty amazing.
Well, with his daughter, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just, man, it was just so cute. Just incredible. Like, just an outstanding moment. I can't imagine being her, being everybody involved in that family. What a fabulous moment.
I just, I can't think of a player who's had a bigger, like, turnaround with the fan base. And maybe it was mostly Twitter that was ragging on, and us guys in the media that was ragging on Miller last year, Donnie, but... You know, that was as loud a chant as I've heard here at Rogers Arena since I've been here in 2017. You know, it's incredible the turnaround that this fan base has had around JT Miller.
Well, it's so different now. Before you go to a game and you watch a guy, maybe he slacks off a bit, but ultimately you look at the numbers and you go, okay, well, you know, he's actually a pretty good player. But now with social media, you know, if somebody comes up with an example or two or three of bad body language, you know, that's what gets focused on, and you forget the numbers because, you know, numbers hit you one way, visuals hit you in another way, and I think in a much stronger way. And a lot of people had a hard time letting go of, you know, those times, you know, when he was clearly coming up with the bad body language. To me, it looked like he was blaming teammates, and I could be wrong there, but that was the opinion of a lot of people. You know, slamming the stick, that sort of thing. You just saw that over and over again. And even though he's putting up good numbers, it's hard to get images like that out of your mind. But just as time has gone by and he keeps putting up those good numbers, speaks very well on behalf of the team, has really got his body language under control. People have really begun to love this guy. And I think what else is playing into it, guys, despite, you know, everybody complaining about, well, not everybody, but a lot of people wondering, did they make the right choice? Miller over Horvat. Was that contract too much? You know, 7 years, $8 million per, that just sounds ridiculous at the time. It's really worked out. And that deal seems pretty good right now, no matter how old he is.
Donnie, you're the best. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for this.
Guys, can I say one more thing, if you don't mind? You mentioned your Dunbar Lumber text line. Ken Priestley, if I'm not mistaken, ex-NHLer, Stanley Cup champion with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Still a pretty good defender.
He's in charge of Dunbar Lumber. I've got that right, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ken, I just wanted to say congratulations to him. He coaches South Delta's U18A1 team.
Three-peat.
A three-peat. I don't want to listen. They are three-time provincial champions. Port Moody, we were the last team to beat them, and then they went on a big run. They're just a fabulous team, a fabulous organization, and he's a really nice man. And just congratulations to him. That you know, when you're talking winning 3 years, the province 3 years in a row, that's a lot of turnover there. That has a lot to do with coaching. So, congrats to Ken. That's a big deal.
Shouts to our guy Ken Priestley. Thanks for this, Donnie.
You bet.
There is Don Taylor, Donnie and Dolly, 10 to noon on Check TV. And he on Sports at 6:50, brought to you by Besant Motors, powering the playoff drive, home of over 400 pre-owned vehicles and where the players go. It's Dan Riccio and Bick Nizar here on Canuck Central. We go back to the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. This one from Sam: just think everyone hated the Miller trade and completely roasted Jim Benning, yet everyone loves the Lindholm trade, and it's one of the worst trades in Canucks history. Are we already putting it there? One of the worst trades in Canucks history?
No, I'm not putting it there just yet.
Sam is.
But
it's a bold take. I
Miller
love
the
bold take.
Especially with the great moment on Saturday. You know, because of the trade and the price and everything that went into it and timeline, you didn't really come into the JT Miller transaction with this, oh, fired up about this trade. And there was a lot of trepidation over it. And I think it took away the initial appeal and the chance to have a love-in with the player. Whereas someone like, you know, that gets drafted, comes through your system, you get years to warm up to the idea like this guy's going to be a star for the team. And if they do or don't, you still get that warm, initial, fuzzy feeling to it. And JT's had to work for that in this city. Now, I think in the past year, it's really started to manifest. And moments like Saturday, man, that's That's what sports is all about.
Yeah. People couldn't the big thing was people couldn't understand choosing JT over Bo, the captain of the team and the guy who had been one of the big faces of the team. Bo ends up getting more money, and right now, JT has been the more impactful player, even though Bo has been pretty good with the New York Islanders. All right, coming up, Canucks and LA Kings. We get full on into the pregame show. You'll hear from Rick Tocchet. We'll have our pregame roundtable as well. That's next on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Vancouver sports fans. Halford and Brough in the morning. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.